T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It is midweek, March 27, 2024. It's a Wednesday. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn. I am on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how's it going?
It's great. We get to watch Brandon Clark play some basketball.
Yeah, a return.
Today.
Return game.
It's a great day.
Well, we don't have the official active designation, but he's questionable. He was doubtful for two games. He's questionable tonight. I think we feel pretty good about him actually getting on the floor. I think there'll be minutes restrictions. I think there'll be those things, but we'll talk about that in just a moment when we get to overreaction and not an overreaction. But we have 3 hours to talk, 2.5 hours to talk, I should say, on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly, because we're going to pass you off to the Brandon Clark return, likely return, at about 6:30. Jessica Benson will take over for pregame. Tip will be at 7 o'clock versus the Lakers. Looks like LeBron is actually going to play. LeBron's going to play. Lakers aren't angling for a whole lot. I guess they're trying to move up in the play-in. They're at 9 right now, but LeBron will play. So it looks like they'll have a full deck, and the Grizzlies have a more full deck than they've had in quite a while with Brandon Clark returning to the floor. We'll see what he looks like. But we're going to open on overreaction, not an overreaction. As far as guests, we're loaded today. We're absolutely loaded. 4:30, we have our Memphis Showboats guest. Memphis Showboats linebacker. He played for them last year in the USFL. Now they're in the UFL, but he'll be number 5 when you see them play on Sunday at 2 p.m. versus the Houston Roughnecks in Houston. T.J. Neal. He spent some time at Illinois in his college days and then transferred to Auburn for his final year of eligibility. So he's been around the block a million different times, had some workouts, tryouts in the NFL, spent some time in the CFL, but it is the league of opportunity. So can't wait to talk to TJ here at the bottom of this hour. As far as the second hour, you know how that goes. Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show. And then 6 o'clock, before we pass you off to Jessica Benson for Grizzlies versus Lakers pregame, the Brandon Clark return. Parker Fleming from Substack Elitist. We bring him on every once in a while. He has a free Grizzlies Substack. Go subscribe now. Very good work. And he's done a lot of good work so far with the NBA draft that will come up and how the Grizzlies should approach it. I think there's a lot of good stuff. Make sure that you go subscribe to Substack Elitist. Now, as soon as I got off the air yesterday, I have to bring this up on air. I got burglarized. I got robbed. I got robbed at my house, my beautiful home in East Memphis. Not fun. Not fun at all. They didn't get in the house. They didn't get in the house, so that's good news. Let me tell you that. But I have a bunch of porch, furniture that I've had for quite a while. Sit out there on the front porch, enjoy myself with a beverage every weekend. I don't have that anymore. It was gone as soon as I showed up to my house, and my wife walks outside and I ask her, "What the hell did you do with the front porch furniture?" And she said, "What'd you do with it?" I said, "I've been at work. I've been down the street at the studio this entire time." And then I go on my Ring app, Connor, and you have the Ring app as well.
I have the Ring. Yep.
I went on the Ring app and I look, it was about 4 o'clock yesterday. 3 separate people just pulled up in my neighbor's driveway, bold as hell. Broad daylight at 4 o'clock, and grabbed every bit of furniture off my front porch and just threw it in the back of a truck. It was a Nissan black truck. If anybody out there knows about a black Nissan truck that they can lead me in the right direction, it's a four-door. It's a four-door. If you can lead me in the right direction so I can find my furniture, that would be very much appreciated. Had to call the non-emergency line for MPD yesterday. They did a great job. Had a couple of policemen show up, and they put down a report. I guess I'm going to have to get an investigator involved. What really did strike me, though, is even though it was broad daylight and it was very clear what they were doing, no one stopped them, one. And they were just taking their sweet damn time. Looked like they showed up at about 4:12, left at about 4:20 while they were packing up all of my furniture and taking off with it. So that's how my Tuesday ended yesterday, Connor, and I sent it to you as soon as I could.
Yeah, it was insane. As soon as I pulled into my driveway, I got that text from you and I was like, "Oh my God." I have two comments to make. One, it's really telling, or it's you realize that we do not live in TV and movies because you sent me the picture that you have, and the camera is about 20 yards away from the truck, and you see the license plate. And that's why when you first sent it to me, the first text I sent back was, oh, at least you'll be able to catch him, though, because you have the license plate. And then it turns out, oh, zoom and enhance does not exist, because even though it's 20 yards away, you could not make out a single letter or number on that license plate. The second comment I have to make, the comments within the Ring app
are
absolutely bananas.
This is my first time posting on Ring, by the way, on the Neighbors app. This is my first time ever posting on
it. The first comment I saw on your post said, maybe they thought that it was furniture they were giving away on the curb. It was on his porch.
It was on my porch.
With pillows on it and stuff. Yes. It was set out. It was decorated.
It was all perfectly.
Yeah, maybe it was an honest mistake.
Yeah,
maybe it was an honest mistake.
It would be at the front of my driveway. if it was up for grabs, it would be at the front of my driveway. I got a bunch of comments. It's kind of funny posting on the Neighbors app. They don't really help you exactly. There was one person who did kind of try to help. They said that they saw that car around in the Sea Isle neighborhood around 4:30 today, and they pulled off, and I think they saw my couch in the back of the truck. So there is that, but all these other ones are hilarious.
If I see that truck, I will do a citizen's arrest. I promise.
Yeah, they said they hope they mistook it. This is what they said: Lord, I hope they just mistook it as something that was going to be discarded. These people are becoming more trifling than ever. It was not going to be discarded.
Do you think they listened to the show because they knew you weren't home?
Maybe. I don't know. The one thing that I am.
What if they're listening right now?
Who knows? If they're listening right now, do the right thing. Do the right thing. You've been reported. Your vehicle is going to be flagged because I have a good shot of your vehicle. It's going to be in the investigator's office here relatively soon. I do wonder if they can zoom and enhance.
Do they have
at MPD? Can they zoom and enhance?
Maybe they have a CSI department.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they can zoom and enhance and
CSI Memphis
and see what that tag actually read. But it looked like a regular tag. It looked like just a four-door Nissan truck.
We should get Bluff City Law on it.
Yeah, but the people on Neighbors app are hilarious. I got one that says, in broad daylight? Unbelievable. It's like, you're not helping. Why are you even commenting on it in general? Like, I'm asking for help with a theft that happened in the neighborhood. Like, if you don't have anything to help me, you know, find these people and find my couch that was on my front porch, just leave it be. You don't need to comment on everything. And the crime in Memphis, oh, it's out of control. These people are out of control. Lock them up. It's like, that doesn't help me right now. Please, just, I want to locate my property. Like, that's all I want. Anything else is not accomplishing that goal. But, yeah, I did get a kick out of the person that said, yo, they thought you were discarding it. No, they didn't. And then it is especially bold to pull up into my neighbor's driveway, to act like you own that house, and then pack up my stuff. So, if anybody out there has any details on a black Nissan four-door truck.
With a couch in the back.
If you saw it with a couch, I hope the couch is not in the back at this point. That would be an especially dumb criminal. But I have this show, and I have listeners that can help me out. If you have any leads on that, let me know. But that was not a fun thing to end my Tuesday.
It is not fun. It is not a fun thing.
Yeah, but MPD's on it. The investigators on it. Although they have other things to deal with. Let's be completely honest. I don't know if like sort of petty theft is what they're looking to what they're looking to figure out right now.
Our only hope is zoom and enhance.
I hope so. I hope that at MPD they can zoom and enhance that license plate and figure out who stole my couch, because I like that couch. I've had that couch for a while. It was actually a gift from my family at one point. I hope I can get my couch back. But, you know, it's time to get on to other things. This is the last you'll hear about my stolen couch. Maybe. I might bring it up later because I am still pretty peeved about it. But it's time, as we start on a Wednesday, we always get to a little thing called overreaction, not an overreaction. Connor, hit it.
Now, it's overreaction or not an overreaction.
We are to wild and crazy guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
All right, Gabe. Brandon Clark is officially listed as questionable and is scheduled to play tonight. He is about 13 months removed from his Achilles injury last March in Denver. And there are concerns about what his game will look like considering his style. He's a runner and a leaper. So my question to you is, Brandon Clark will alleviate those concerns. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
Not an overreaction. I think he does alleviate those concerns. I think you'll see the fact that he's still athletic. We've been seeing some clips between, last March when he was playing the Nuggets and now, where he still looks athletic. He still looks like he can move around relatively well. What I think you'll be missing, at least for the time being, is that second jump. That second jump that gets him offensive rebounds, that gets him the ball back when he misses. I see that sort of being a problem for him. I still think the running ability is going to be there. I think he'll be limited in minutes. So he may have to play in spurts for the time being, but I'm glad to see him back out there in general, because I think it'll help us understand at least a little bit of what they're going to do this offseason. I think there is a real possibility going into next season that you may start the year with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark next to each other in the starting lineup, because those lineups are phenomenal. Let's not forget about what Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark do next to each other. When you look at lineups since they've been in the league together, when you look at lineups where they're on the floor together, they have a plus 13 net rating. They're phenomenal. Per 100 possessions, they win those possessions by 13 points. So I expect a lot from Brandon Clark. I want to see those Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark lineups together. I think the first time that I see a lob dunk from Brandon Clark, will all ascend into heaven. I think that's what's going to happen. But I expect him to be solid. And the reason I expect him to be solid is, even if he has a little less in the way of athleticism coming off this Achilles injury, which is very understandable, one thing that I think people don't talk about enough is Brandon Clark, the reason he fit in so well with the Grizzlies, the reason he has been the type of player he's been with the Grizzlies, is because he always plays within himself, and he has a very good basketball IQ. He's always in the right spots. He knows the angles with which to screen at. He's a great roller. He knows how to pick his spots and where to be on the floor. So I think that IQ is going nowhere. We're just going to have to see what his athleticism looks like. But I still think he's going to be a very productive player for this Grizzlies team, for the rest of this season and going into next season.
Yeah, I think as long as people have measured expectations for what he's going to look like coming off as an Achilles injury and not playing in 13 months, I don't think he's going to disappoint at all. And the main reason is, like you said, it's his basketball IQ. The reason Brandon Clark is so valuable as a basketball player is he is extremely efficient. He picks his spots, and he's always in the right spot defensively and offensively. So that, I don't expect that to go away. An Achilles injury doesn't make your basketball IQ go away. The biggest thing in the questions about Brandon Clark is, does he have that second jump still? Because that is what made him so invaluable. The reason, to be quite honest, the Grizzlies probably don't win that Timberwolves series without Brandon Clark's second
jump. Some of the knockouts.
I mean, Parker Fleming, who we're going to have on later at 6 o'clock, posted a clip today when the game was tied at 90. I think it was 94-92, maybe. Timberwolves were up, and Brandon Clark had a double jump rebound that tied up the game. And then, of course, we know what happened in that game later on with John Morant and his game winner. He is just so invaluable what the Grizzlies do, but it's because of his basketball IQ. The athleticism is just a bonus on top of it, and that's why we've been saying the last few weeks here, if he can just be close to what he is, he doesn't need to be 100% Brandon Clark to make you feel good about what he could possibly be next season. You really just want him to be about, 75-80% sometime this season, and then hopefully maybe this offseason he can build that back up and get as close as he can be to what he was. But I think it would be an unfair expectation to have of Brandon Clark to see him come back and be like, oh, he's going to be catching lobs and running down the court and doing all these things like he used to do, because it is a major injury he's coming off of. Now, the good news is the injury recovery has changed over the last few years. It has become much more, you know, it makes more sense for somebody to come back from an Achilles injury and look more like themselves. Kevin Durant is the most notable one. A lot of people thought that Kevin Durant's career might be over when that Achilles popped. And to be quite honest, he's played some of the best basketball of his career since that happened. So you just hope that Brandon Clark can do that. And another thing that gives me some encouragement is he has shown in the past an ability to shoot the ball. Now, the last few seasons, it has kind of gone away. Yeah. We know that he had a hitch in his shot, but the Grizzlies, with the new shooting coaches that they have, especially with we've seen the work that they've done with Gigi, maybe Brandon Clark can help, you know, blend that shooting back into his game. And if he can add that to his repertoire, it's going to help his offensive game if that athleticism gets taken away a little bit. So I'm curious to see what he looks like. I'm very excited, really excited to see him play. He's always been one of my favorite Memphis Grizzlies of all time. I just think the things that he does on the basketball court are invaluable, and it's not just because of his athleticism. The athleticism makes him, you know, the potential sixth man of the year type of guy, but his basketball IQ is what makes him so effective.
His rookie year, he could shoot from the three-point line at least a little bit.
He shot 36%. We were all like, what the hell?
But then it felt like they just sort of, you know, got that out of his game.
It's that hitch
year two,
showed up.
Year three.
That hitch in the
well,
shot
he always
up.
Had the hitch to a certain extent, but I still think, you know, right around the free throw line, you know, some of those deeper mid-range shots, he still can make some of those.
It's that bunny floater, too.
His floater is, that's a signature of his. But you still want to see him do some of the athletic things that he did around the rim pre-injury. And I think that that's still possible. You bring up Kevin Durant. There were some things about Kevin Durant after the Achilles injury that definitely slowed down. Definitely not the offensive bag. The offensive bag's still there. But defensively, moving his feet, some of the athleticism.
Yeah.
He was a very good defender pre-injury. He's still an okay defender, but he's not what he once was. And maybe that has to do with age and injury in general. I think Brandon Clark will slow down a little bit, but given his IQ and given, you know, his ability to just play within himself, I think that Brandon Clark will be a very, very good player for the rest of this year and going into next year. And what I can't wait to see, and we're a long way off from this, the death lineups for the Grizzlies used to be Ja, Bane, Dillon Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Brandon Clark. I can't wait to see Ja, Bane, Jaren, and Brandon Clark on the floor together again.
Yeah,
at
with
some
maybe
the, point. With
Gigi
Vince,
or Vince.
Or Gigi or Marcus Smart,
that is
maybe
a dangerous
one.
Lineup.
Like, I can't wait to see that lineup again, because that will tell you that the Grizzlies are officially back. As much as we want to, you know, every single guy that comes back off injury, you want to be like, oh, we're back. No, we're not back yet. We're not back yet. They're still 24-48, and we're working toward the offseason where they're going to have to deal with the NBA draft and try to find a big. I do think, you know, the narrative that's been created around Brandon Clark as far as, like, what he looks like may sway some of their offseason plans. I think I buy into that, but not in the fact that it's like they're going to ignore the big position. They still have to get a big. But maybe if he looks similar to what he looked like before, maybe you can go get a big in the NBA draft and let him come off the bench, and you can let him sit a little bit, and you don't have to spend, you know, decent money on the open market. I still think they're going to go try to find somebody on the open market in free agency, something like that, maybe through a trade. But I think Brandon Clark alleviates some of the pressure to get that done right this second if he looks similar to what he looked like pre-injury.
Sure, I totally agree with that. I think the impact of Brandon Clark this offseason, if he, you know, looks serviceable, it really, in my opinion, is it kind of makes a few guys on the roster, I think, available. Like a guy like Santi Aldama, maybe they begin to shop him because you're starting to have, you know, a bit of a crunch there at that position, especially with the rise of Gigi Jackson. And, you know, if you have Brandon Clark there, and then if you plan to draft a big or bring in another one, all of a sudden you have a lot of bigs that need some playing time, so maybe they move off of somebody. So that's where I could see it having an impact. But at the end of the day, I don't expect their plan to be to start Jaren Jackson Jr. at the 5 and have Brandon Clark at the 4. I think that that could absolutely be a closing lineup moving down the line. And I think that one thing I've seen on Grizzlies Twitter that I have appreciated is that it seemed like at first the conversation with Gigi, it started with the Gigi Jackson conversation where it was like, oh, we have to talk about the starting lineup. What matters is the closing lineup.
Yes.
The closing lineup is the most important thing. And that is where, you know, Brandon Clark and what he looks like is going to have an impact, because it's going to, I think, impact what their closing lineups could potentially be next season, because that death lineup is extremely effective. I looked it up. You talked about the minutes he's played with Jaren Jackson Jr. You know, they have played 161 games together in their career.
They are plus 163 in 161 games. So that's pretty good. Damn good.
That's very, very good. Now, you brought up Grizzlies Twitter, and I think there's a lot of discussions about best player available versus need, especially with where they're going to be drafting. I saw Parker, and again, we'll talk to Parker at 6 o'clock. But Parker put out a good point, and especially if you follow the Kleiman era and how he has drafted, especially in the first round, you'll see this as well. As much as you look at these mock drafts and you're like, oh, you know, Kyle Filipowski, Donovan Klingon, they don't deserve to be top 8 picks. They don't deserve to be top 10 picks. They're late lottery or sort of middle of the first round. You'll look at those mock drafts and you'll say that based on where they're slotted in just about every single mock draft. The Grizzlies don't operate that way. They just don't. I mean, look at Zaire, and it's been for better and for worse. Like, let's be honest. Zaire Williams is the 10th overall pick. I think a lot of people thought he would fall out of the lottery and be sort of a middle first-round pick. Jake LaRavia is a little different. He was sort of slotted in that area right around 20, and he was picked 19th. David Roddy was a guy who was supposed to be a second-round pick. They traded up to go get him at 23. Santi Aldama, there was, like, very few mock drafts that even had him listed in a two-round draft. And he got picked at 30th. So the Grizzlies, if they find a guy that they like, I don't think they really care where they're picking. I don't think they care where they're picking. So this best player available need thing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, as much as we try to decipher that for the Grizzlies seem to operate on their own time. And I think this coming NBA draft is going to be no exception.
I think it is clear that the Grizzlies have their eyes on a few guys. I think that Donovan Klingon is absolutely one
Certainly.
Of them. I do think that they probably learned a lesson from the Zaire thing in which you can trade back if you feel like there's a prospect that may not warrant a top 10 pick. But in the case of Donovan Klingon, I think he would warrant a top 10 pick. That's why
I think he does.
I've been a bit confused about the conversation there about, you know, is he a lottery guy or not? I'm pretty sure he's a lottery guy. We're seeing what he's doing right now in the NCAA tournament. We've seen what he's done all year. We talked about yesterday how there's an argument for drafting the best player available, but in the case of the Grizzlies, I think you have a chance to do best player available and best fit at the same time, because it's the big man draft in the big man pool in this draft is pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. We talked about how this draft may not have the superstars that some drafts have, but I really do believe that this is one that is littered with role players that can help you win. Now, there's a lot of older players in this draft that can come in and help a team win that is trying to contend right now. And I am under the belief that Donovan Klingon is that guy. So if he is there, if it is a couple pick reach, I'm totally fine with it, because he checks all of the boxes that the Grizzlies
are looking
for.
And it's also a strange draft where guys are going to go probably where you don't exactly expect them to go based on
there's
need.
No true
once you get
number
out of,
one.
Once it's, you get it's out of the top to three, top four picks, I think it's going to be a crapshoot.
Well,
I really
just,
believe that.
When was the last time we went into a draft without knowing the top one to three players. Like, we knew that these guys were going to be drafted in the one, but we have no idea.
There's usually a consensus number one overall guy.
It's Reed Sheppard. Who knows who could go? Everybody, like, every name a guy in the top 10 on mock drafts right now, they've probably been listed as number one pick at some point.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things about best player available is, like, the Grizzlies are in this moment where you do have this high pick, and you take this high pick maybe potentially to have this guy be a starter at some point. You have to think about who fits alongside Ja, Jaren, and Bane. And, like, I Rob Dillingham does not really fit that description. I don't know if Reed Sheppard fits that description in the best possible way. So you just have to be careful about, even if you're talking best player available, you have to be careful about that as well, because you have this core that you don't want to disrupt, right? So I think, you know, meeting need is still a very solid possibility. And I think the need, we talked about this yesterday, if it is Donovan Klingon in those top 10 picks that you end up, you know, chasing after, I think need and best player available may sort of meet on Donovan Klingon if he's still around by the time you pick.
Yeah, I think things change pretty significantly for the Grizzlies, I think, if they land in the top five. Anything outside of that, I don't think it's going to be some huge decision for them to make. I think it's going to be pretty cut and dry who's going to be there. And it's just, if they land in the top five, the conversation is going to get it interesting.
Yeah.
Because then you have to really say, okay, do you take the best player available here? Because you could probably figure out something. Or do you move that draft pick to try to go get that starting center next to Jaren Jackson Jr.? You know, I know that people have been talking about Andre Drummond. Parker's talked about him. Anthony Sain's talked about him a whole bunch. Sain, to be quite honest, was probably the first guy I heard that was on him. And to be honest, like, you know, full disclosure, I was kind of against the Andre Drummond idea at first. But then the way he's played this season, though.
On a $3 million contract.
On a $3 million contract, which he's going to warrant more because he has been playing well. But, you know, the Grizzlies have some money to play around with.
But he's also a little older, and I don't know if that contract's going to boost up like some of these younger players.
I really like the idea that Sain was talking about. You bring in a guy like Andre Drummond to play 3.5 quarters. He does the dirty work for you, and then you close with the death lineup, and Jaren can be at the five.
Yeah,
that plan makes a lot of sense for me for the Memphis Grizzlies. So if you go that direction and you decide to draft best player available, and that ends up being Dillingham, which I don't think makes a ton of sense. He's a fantastic scorer. He's going to be a good NBA player. But at the end of the day, the Grizzlies have a guy named Ja Morant, so a point guard's not going to get a ton of playing time on this team. You know, I could talk myself into it, but it's just as it lays right now and where the probabilities stand, if I had a choice, if I could pick what the Grizzlies do going into the draft, it would be walk away with Donovan Klingon. That is my goal heading into the draft as it stands right now.
Yes, I think I'm right there with you.
Did you see the Ringer, the what they had today? They had the Grizzlies taking Donovan Klingon.
I think it just makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. But all these mock drafts, like, you're not going to find two that look even close to the same.
No, you're not.
They're
because
nuts.
It is.
They're all over the
it's
place.
It's so weird to not have a true 1-2-3 type of guys this year. It could be anybody right now. So I'm excited to see what happens.
And who knows? Like, I will say this. Donovan Klingon, with what he's done so far in the NCAA tournament, what he could potentially do going forward, he could rise up. He could rise up into who knows how high he could rise up to.
We talked about it
yesterday. I know centers and, like, his type of player is not as valued as it once was in the NBA, but his style, he can move his feet relatively well. He's good in drop coverage. He can finish around the rim. He has some good post moves, and he blocks shots at a very high clip. That's still valuable. That's still valuable. I don't know if it warrants a number one pick like it once did back in the day, but I think that this NCAA tournament could be a turning point for the hype around Donovan Klingon, and we'll see how it all ages.
Yeah, it's just his defensive upside is really exciting because he doesn't defend well on the perimeter at all, but you have a guy named Jaren Jackson Jr. who was a defensive player of the year who is excellent at doing that. His ability to defend the pick and roll and drop is really, really, you know, that is what I think makes him so attractive to the Memphis Grizzlies. He's great on the boards, but he does well on the pick and roll on the offensive side of the basketball and on the defensive side. He checks some of the boxes that Steven Adams did. He has a similar body type. Maybe he grows into being the mammoth of a human being that Steven Adams is. That'd be an unfair expectation to put on him. But
He's already big enough, right?
7'2" with a 7'7" wingspan. You know,
and he's around 300 pounds. He's big enough as is.
Right. All right. Next up, Louisville has a basketball coach. The Louisville job is seemingly a consensus top 15 job in America, but they struck out on a couple of plans. Dusty May and Scott Drew said no, and they landed on College of Charleston head coach Pat Kelsey. Louisville settled. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
Not an overreaction in the slightest. This is one of the biggest settles I've seen in a long time for a job of this type of caliber. And I understand where they're coming off of. Chris Mack, by the end of his tenure, it was really bad. But it got worse. They had 4 wins 2 years ago and 8 wins this year under Kenny Payne. And they bottomed out, and it's really hard to go find these attractive names out there on the open market to say, hey, come take this job right now. It's as low as it's ever been, and you have to build it back up. And we know that the fans, in the end of the day, are going to want greatness relatively soon. Whether it's 2 or 3 years, they want that very fast. And it's really hard to do that, even with the transfer portal and everything else. You won 8 games a year ago. Like, turning 8 games into 23 wins in the ACC, dealing with what you're dealing with as far as transfer portal and NIL, it's just harder than it once was. It's very tough. But Pat Kelsey, like, this was down the list. I know that when you looked at Bet Kentucky's odds, I think he had the third shortest odds to be the next head coach for Louisville. But when you look at Pat Kelsey, he was at Winthrop for a while. He did well at Winthrop, and he was at College of Charleston for 3 years. And he's coming off 2 years, one where he was 31-4, and this past year, 27-8. And he made the tournament both times. They ended up losing in the first round, even though they were an upset pick. But he's been doing this for a while, and he's never won a tournament game. He's never won a tournament game. And now he's got to take over Louisville? Like, that's insane to me. Like, Louisville, it feels like the baseline expectation that you would have had to reach to be a head coach at Louisville is, like, get to the second weekend, get to a Sweet 16, win as a lower-seeded team. He hasn't done any of that. And here's the other part of it. Chris Mack, before Kenny Payne, was the head coach at Louisville. Do you know where Pat Kelsey comes from? His first couple of years, he was an assistant on Chris Mack's bench at Xavier. So you're bringing back a former Chris Mack assistant who hasn't won an NCAA tournament game. This is without question settling. I understand Louisville, you know, wanted the Scott Drews, wanted the Dusty Mays. Maybe they reached out to Eric Musselman. Maybe they reached out to Mick Cronin. Those guys would have landed better with the Louisville fan base than Pat Kelsey. But I just find this hire very, very strange. I think Pat Kelsey's a fine coach, but his track record doesn't really lead me to believe that he's going to get Louisville back to where they once were, recapture the greatness that Louisville once had. And then also at Louisville, I know that there's part of it where you could say, okay, it recruits itself, but Pat Kelsey's been recruiting at Winthrop and College of Charleston. This is a different type of deal he's entering into. He's going to have to compete with the likes of Duke and North Carolina and Michigan State and all these different schools around the country that are considered top 15 jobs. I just don't know if he can recruit at the same level as some of the guys that are at those jobs right now. So I think this is a massive settle, and I'm curious how this all plays out.
It was surprising. When you told me who they hired, I think my reaction was, who? Like, I was like, who the hell is that guy? So he's being described as someone who can bring high energy and re-energize the Louisville fan base, and that's great, but like you said, his track record doesn't necessarily make you that excited. It seems like the type of hire that is unsexy but could turn out to be solid. It's just not the home run that they are looking for. But we talked about yesterday that maybe all I need to hit right now is a double. It's just
right.
When the names that were on the board were on the board and this is who you walked away with, you can't help but feel a little bit disappointed, I think, if you're a Louisville fan. That's not to say that it couldn't work out and that Kelsey ends up being a pretty solid coach for Louisville, but you know, you have to assume that guys like Musselman probably said no to you. I think that is the safe assumption to make, because when we were talking about it yesterday, it really felt like it was his job for the taking.
Yeah, now he is a Cincinnati guy, so he knows, he's been close to Louisville, he understands the area, he is a high-tempo coach, they're going to play a lot of offense, they're going to shoot a lot of three balls, they're going to get up and down the floor. Like, I like the style, I think Pat Kelsey's done a good job at his stops, but I'm just used to Louisville getting a bigger name. You know what I mean? Like, in the end of the day, I am used to Louisville getting a bigger name with more tournament success, and that's not what Pat Kelsey is at this current moment.
I think it also surprises me that they stayed within the quote-unquote Louisville family. Like, they stayed with somebody who had been there before and
around Chris
Mack.
Well, not been there, but he was around Chris Mack.
And it's just, I don't know. I don't know if Chris Mack didn't work out well, why would you bring in one of his assistants? That's just an odd decision to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. But they definitely settled. I think everybody is sort of on that.
Maybe
same
it works out, but it does feel like a settle.
Yeah, they swung for the fences, struck out on a couple of guys, and they landed on Pat Kelsey. Like there's worse things that could have happened, but you know, it's just
Louisville was preaching that change was needed. Change was needed, and it absolutely was with Kenny Payne. But again, if you're going after Chris Mack's assistant, is that a huge change than it has been the past 10 years or so?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Now, we need to go ahead and transition up out of here as we need to get to our Showboats guest for the week. The Showboats will open their season Sunday at 2 p.m. versus the Houston Roughnecks. It will be on ESPN, and you'll see number 5, T.J. Neal, at a linebacker position playing off-ball linebacker. He'll join next. We'll bring on T.J. Neal right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and we have our weekly Showboats guest, as we do every single Wednesday. This week, it is T.J. Neal, linebacker for the Memphis Showboats. Before they get going, coming up on March 31st, they're going to get going at 2 p.m. He is on X at TNeal_52. TJ, what's happening, man? How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. We just got done practicing, just ate some lunch, but to get ready for some meetings and break down the practice film and get some corrections and keep it going.
Well, I'm hoping you have some like walkthroughs. I mean, y'all have had a long, long-ass camp, I have to admit. I mean, you started in February. We're here at the end of March. Do y'all have some walkthroughs for the rest of the week, or do you still have some contact practices?
We got. I want to say two more contact practices. Then towards the end of the week, we have the walkthroughs and start gearing up to get ready for the Houston Roughnecks.
Rock on. So this is, I believe, is this your second year in the league? You're in USFL. Have you been with the Showboats? Right? Is that how this has worked?
Yes, I've been with the Showboats, but I was with the Tempe Bandits prior, so this will be my third year participating in the spring league.
Okay, now this is what I have to do with anybody who comes on, any player that comes on with the UFL and sort of this partnership we've seen with the USFL and the XFL. How has that looked? How has that been? Has it been a switch up, or is it sort of status quo, sort of similar to what you have been dealing with?
I would say the biggest difference is the intensity. You know, this year was a lot more competition than usual. You had, two combination of teams and drafts and different things going on. We got a lot of guys who potentially were starters on the previous team and coming in camp competing to, start on this team.
Yeah, and so you're just saying basically like this talent pool all coming together, it's just a lot more. There's a lot more talent. There's a lot more competition.
Yes.
Good to hear. Now, let me hear about your story. Just in general, I sort of looked up a little bit. Obviously, you've been doing this for a while. You've been doing the pro football thing for a while. You spent 3 years at Illinois in college, transferred to Auburn for your senior year. You transferred before it was easy, before it was as easily accessible for the guys that we have in college now. But Take us through your story, because I think people need to understand that, considering this really is a league of opportunity that we're watching. Guys, getting to play football for money, man, that's the dream. I used to play at the University of Memphis. I would have been able to cross your path if you were at Auburn in 2015 for the Birmingham Bowl, but you came that year after when y'all went 8-5. But tell my listeners about your story and how you got to where you're at right now.
Man, it has been a journey, an up and down journey, and I'm blessed with the opportunity still to continue to be playing football, professional sports, as you mentioned, getting paid to play weekly. But I had a good collegiate career, tried out with the Steelers and the Cardinals, and 2017-18, I didn't play no football, so I was just working and really upset and going through that phase of transitioning from playing ball to working. Then 2019, I played indoor football with the Sioux Falls Storm.
Yep.
It was a bit of a struggle, adapting to the indoor game, but it turned out to be well. We won the championship that year. And after that season, I signed with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for 2020. But as we know, that was COVID year. That was pandemic year, and that year got canceled. So I didn't play football 2020. And 2021, I played in the spring league that was in Indianapolis. So that's what started, where I'm at today, because it was a coach named Tom Mason who knew Frank Gantz and, that was with the Tampa Bay Bandits, and they were looking for a guy that could play special teams, and they needed a linebacker. And I came down there, and I started my journey, been in the USFL, now in the United Football League. But it has been a journey. It's been a very delightful journey, I should say.
Yeah, so that's something I had to deal with. I ended up trying out for the Saints when I got done at the University of Memphis. And then, I played for the AAF for like a training camp, got cut on my day off, came back, was wondering what the hell I'm going to do. Obviously landed in a good spot after 4 years, landed right here at 92.9 ESPN. But what were you doing? Right, you said you were working. What were you doing when you were working before you got sort of your opportunities?
I'm an educator, so I have a passion and love for the emotionally disturbed youth. You know, so I'm a behavior specialist during the off season, and what I do is I find accommodations to help the kids, you know, be able to sit down and learn and educate the educators to be able to modify the lesson plan, or if the kids need a break from class or whatever. I look like I try to find the needs. I try to meet the needs and wants of the children who struggle within the classroom environment.
That's awesome. Now, you still do that in the off seasons?
Yes.
Okay. How do you balance your time with having to work out, stay in shape, get ready for this season? How do you balance all that time?
Well, I love stress. Good stress. You know, yeah. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll work out in the morning before I go to work. Then after work, I'll work out. And, you know, I like a routine. I go to bed early. I eat well. I do all the small things right. But I love structure where it eliminates all the distractions and not having idle time. I'm able to stay focused whenever I got a lot of things on my plate.
Talking with T.J. Neal. He is a linebacker for the Memphis Showbuzz. Now, take me through your college days. Who are some of the guys you got to play with at Illinois and then at Auburn? And what did you take away from your college days that helped you get to where you're at now?
Well, college one of my favorite coaches of all time, Mike Ward, the linebacker coach, man. He was old school guy, and you know, he structured, and you know, allowed you to create a work ethic, because that was the only way you were able to separate yourself with all the talent being in the Big Ten or the SEC. And I had a great experience at both schools, played against tremendous talents, guys that are still in the NFL today I played with, and it was awesome. You know, I enjoyed it. It went by fast, and I love working, so I love the hard nose. You know, you wake up, you go to class, and you go to practice, you travel, you break down the film. I love the whole routine.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's tougher? Let me ask you this. As an off-ball linebacker, what's tougher to deal with, the Big Ten and the style of football they play there, or the SEC? What is tougher? Because I know they're running right at you in the Big Ten consistently. You have to have your run fits correct. You're filling in that B gap consistently. What was tougher throughout your college days?
Well, I would say I like between the tackles. I enjoy that style of play. Probably playing in space would be tougher. You know what I'm saying? But guys who like to be physical, you know, love when a game is right in front of them.
Yep. So what do you think your strengths are? You think your strengths are filling in between the tackles, stopping the run, or are you a balanced guy that can go play, get into coverage, play against the pass?
Well, I've been striving to be a balanced guy. You know, one of my strong suits is playing against the run and getting downhill. But throughout the offseason, this offseason in particular, you know, I worked a lot on my hips, my speed, to be able to stay in the game and not come out on a passing down. So I wanted to display that throughout camp. And when the coach is over, to let them know that I can stay on the field when they do pass the ball.
Yep. So what do you think about your guys' team so far? Looking at this long extended camp you've dealt with, I know that the roster's just about cut down at this moment. Probably some guys that you wanted to be there with you that had to be cut. That's just the nature of the beast when we're talking about professional football. But what do you think about this group you guys have, and how do you feel like you guys will pace the season?
I think the group is well-rounded. We got a lot of playmakers on both sides of the ball. And we got a big test this weekend to really reveal that. You know, a lot of guys showcase their skills throughout camp. And this is going to be a great opportunity this weekend to, you know, showcase and continue to be consistent with the things that was established at camp and at practice.
How is it watching film? I mean, you got the Roughnecks coming up this weekend, and sometimes, like, when we look at this league, it can be a revolving door of guys. Watching film may not be the easiest thing in the world because you don't know exactly who you're going to be playing against coming up this weekend. So what do you expect to see from the Roughnecks, and what do you expect to have to get done to be able to get a win?
I believe they're going to try to establish the run, so we're going to stop the run first and foremost. And when you're breaking down the film, you see the coach's resume from previous years and what they try to accomplish with their guys. And we got to stop the run, we got to score points, and we got to get some turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about your offense? How has your offense been and sort of dealing with them through camp? They high-powered. I know I've talked with Coach Flip about this in the past. He says no matter what it is, he's going to try to win games different ways. If they have to run the hell out of the ball, they'll run the hell out of the ball. If they have to air it out, you know, 50 times a game, they'll do it that way. But what have you seen from your offense, and how do you think they are as compared to the rest of this league?
I think they're well-balanced. We got a great running back. We got some real good tight ends. We got some big receivers, so I think they're going to be able to pretty much do whatever they want to do as far as establishing a run or throwing the ball. This week will be a great test to see, you know, them guys establish the things they've done throughout the weeks today, on Sunday.
Now, talking with T.J. Neal, he's a linebacker for the Memphis Showboats. Last couple of things. When you talk about sort of how you guys are scheduled this year, you guys are going to be staying in Arlington. That is going to be the hub. But you're going to travel to Memphis for your home games. How is that? Is that a strain on you guys? Or is the travel schedule nice and easy, taken care of for you?
Well, I would like to be able to stay in Memphis and be able to stay at your own apartment and go to the games from there. I think for a guy like me who likes a routine, like being by herself on her downtime, is going to be a bit of a struggle with sharing a room and always going through that each and every week. But, you know, it's just something I have to adapt and adjust to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, how excited are you to get to Memphis? How excited are you guys to at least get in front of this home crowd and actually play a game here in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium? And also, I'll ask you this, too, sort of two-parted question. How familiar are you with the city of Memphis, you know, through your childhood, high school, college days? How much do you know about the city of Memphis?
Well, Yo Gotti is one of my favorite rappers. So
there you
know,
go.
I hear him always talking about Memphis and you know, representing from there. So, you know, I hear him talk about it as a kid and as college. I listen to him a lot. But the fan base is crazy. You know, them guys are going to come out. They're going to show out, and we got to give them a good product, and they're going to be rooting. They're going to show. They're going to be there.
Yeah, but you're from the Northeast, correct? From Pennsylvania?
Yep.
Okay. So how did the Auburn thing come about when you ended up transferring your senior year?
Oh, that's a long story, but, you know, it was some people in my corner, you know, advising to go down there that was connected with Gus Miles on, and I ended up, you know, taking their word and, you know, went down there, and it was a great experience. Ain't nothing like down south football.
Yeah, no, there is nothing like it. You get to see how rabid these fan bases are. And we're really in the melting pot of the SEC here in Memphis, I got to tell you. We are in the melting pot. I mean, we got Arkansas, we Auburn probably a little bit, we have Alabama, Ole Miss, we have everything down here. Everybody likes their football, but it's all spread out for the most part here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Well, TJ, good luck to you this weekend. Appreciate you joining. This has been phenomenal.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. You too. That is TJ Neal. He's a linebacker, number 5 for the Memphis Showboats. He's in year 2 with the Showboats, now with the UFL. He had 31 tackles last year, a half sack. He is on X at TNeal_52. But they're coming up. I mean, this pulled up quickly. We have it this weekend, 2 p.m. They'll be playing the Houston Roughnecks, their first game of the year in the UFL. We'll see how TJ fares. We'll see how the rest of the team fares coming up against the Houston Roughnecks. But we need to go ahead and grab a break. And when we come back, you know who joins the start hour number 2. It's Jeff Calkins. So stick around.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 oh. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.